Good morning. So glad to have you here with us this morning. And if you're joining us for the very first time, we are concluding a series, a four-week series that we started back a few weeks ago called Identity, Understanding Our Distinctiveness as a Church. And just to give you a brief recap, the first couple of weeks, we hit a couple of our core values, one of which was biblical authority. Another was kingdom building, and that naturally led into last week's discussion that we had about our discipleship pathway here at New Life, as well as an introduction to D groups. One of the things that I found out after the fact, during the message, I had mentioned in there that there was a place for you to write, fill in the blanks on the notes. And apparently, I didn't print up the notes last week, so there were no notes in the bulletin. But I put them in this week, slightly edited them a little bit. And I also put another half sheet of paper in there for you as well. And so we discussed where God is taking us as we're trying to understand how to flesh out the vision that God has given us of becoming a church filled with disciple-making disciples. And one of the things that I mentioned last week was really I gave us a series of questions. And the first question was, what is a discipleship pathway? And if you remember, I said a discipleship pathway is a process. And that's important to understand. It's not something that's one and done. It is a process in which a believer moves from being a babe in Christ to a fully mature disciple of Christ. And you can be anywhere along that continuum, but assuming you come to faith in Christ, you're moving from that stage all the way over to becoming a disciple-making disciple of Christ. And then I showed you our discipleship pathway here. If you remember with this particular graphic, we talked about moving from the upper left-hand quadrant all the way around to the lower left-hand quadrant. And each of these steps or stages or processes represent a higher level of commitment. And we said that the congregation really represents what we're doing here on Sunday mornings. It's our Sunday morning gathering. This is a great place to invite friends and family members and coworkers and neighbors. It's not that scary. They just have to get dressed in the morning, get in the car, and come, and then sit with their friends. And then we said that, but from there, we don't want the Sunday morning experience to be it. There needs to be, remember, it's a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And so the next higher level of commitment, we said, was community. And that's best represented by our life groups here at New Life. And then from there, the piece that has been missing is number three, the core, and that is D groups. And that's what we're going to be talking about a lot today. And then number four, we said that was kind of like the off-ramp. That's the crowd. That's where we are engaging missionally. That's where we are serving. And it may be that God leads some people to go overseas. But even if you're not led to be a missionary overseas, we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to make disciples. And so this is the path that we have here at Life Group, at New Life. The next question that I had was, there's the definition of disciple making that I gave you from last week. Disciple making is intentionally equipping believers with the Word of God through accountable relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. And then we address the next question is, what are D groups? And we said that D groups are closed, gender-based, small groups who are made up of 3 to 5 people. They meet over a period of a year to 18 months, depending on the group leader and how far you're going. And it's with the specific purpose of replicating or making disciples who make disciples. And that's a key distinction between our life groups, because life group members, there isn't an expectation for life group members to lead a life group. Now, we hopefully will have some leaders come out of life groups, but that expectation is not built in. With our D groups, it is. So if you're a part of a D group, there is an expectation that you will one day in the near future lead a D group yourself. So that brings us to today. And like last week, today's going to be a little bit different because we've asked our early adoptees, our pilot groups, to actually come and share with you their experiences about being in a D group. Last year, we launched these pilot groups to kind of test the waters to see, we're trying to discern what God is saying to us. Is this where he wants us to go? And you've heard from me, you've heard from Eric, you've heard from Ryan. We'd like you to hear from those people who are actually in these groups, not only to gain a sense of excitement over what God is doing in our midst, but also to be challenged to consider taking the next step on that discipleship pathway, whatever it is for you. So before they come and we get a chance to hear from them, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Lord, we pray that as we seek to be obedient to your command to make disciples, that, Lord, that we would be in step with you in your spirit. Father, we pray that you would lay upon the heart of every single believer who calls New Life home a desire to grow, a desire to not only be a disciple, but to be a disciple-making disciple. And Father, wherever they are on the pathway, Lord, I pray that you would not let them be content where they are, but Father, that they would yearn for greater maturity, that you would use them beyond anything that they've ever been able to think or imagine for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. At this point, I'd like to ask those that are going to be up on stage, serving as our panel, come on up, grab a seat. Well, I thought, first of all, it might be helpful since probably a lot of our folks here don't even know who you are. So what I'd like you to do, and here's a little thing. You got the mics there on the table, but you'll need to make sure that you kind of turn them, focus towards you, and speak into the mic. You don't have to be right on top of it, but make sure you're close enough to it. Let's just start over here with this lady right here, and we'll just kind of move all the way there, and then we'll come down this row here. Just tell us who you are real quick.
Barb Zangmeister.
Yep.
Sarah Kitchen.
There you go.
Linnell Devine.
Brian Billingsley.
Paul Johnson.
Matt McLaughlin.
Sarah McLaughlin.
I'm Eric.
You can move the mic, guys. Okay, all right.
Good. Andy Shump.
Ryan James.
Greg Hesterman.
Steph James.
Amy Hesterman.
Dan Appel.
CJ Anger's back.
I'm Paul DeToma, and in the back is John Yeomans. John would be up here, but he's running sound for us. So, John, feel free to chime in at any point there if you'd like. Well, welcome, guys. We're glad to have you here this morning. Really excited that the body's going to get a chance to hear from you. They're probably tired of hearing from me. And so I just got some introductory questions, and I'm going to be kind of leading you through. Feel free to chime in. If I need to move us along, please forgive me in advance if I end up cutting you off or if you got something really good to say and I don't let you say it. So, but let's start with getting a lowdown on the groups here. Who's in your group? When did it start? Where do you guys meet?
All right, here we go. So in our group, we actually meet at our house, my house, I guess I should say. But Brian Billingsley is in our group, CJ, obviously Pastor Paul, and then Tyler Thompson is in our group. So we meet every Thursday, about an hour and a half each week.
The question was who's in our group and how did it start, right? Well, Steph and I and Brenda Hampton are in our group. And what happened with our group is ours kind of morphed out of a Bible study. Last January, 2000, what year is this now? 19? Thanks. 18.
Watch it, mister.
We started a Bible study. We were just meeting at Panera. And when it was finished, Steph kind of proposed this idea about a discipleship group, and we'll probably get to that, the answer to this question in a little bit, but so we had to kind of contemplate whether that was a step we wanted to take or not. And that's how our group kind of formed into a D group.
This is our group and Sarah, and we meet at Sarah's house once a week. We started in October, so.
Okay, I guess it's me, which is funny because I was a late add to our group. But I meet with Andy and Ryan and John and myself every Monday at 7:15 at Panera.
Great, so different locations, different times, obviously different groups. Are we missing anybody here?
I meet with Eric and Dan Monday mornings at 6:30 at Bob Evans. Eric loves that. We started in June.
Okay, great, fantastic. How did your group actually form? How did you guys end up getting together in the first place, Andy?
Our group formed we were actually the first group that formed. Eric and John, right, went to a conference, came back, sat down with us, talked about this idea, and for some reason, we said yes. But that's how it started.
I don't know. I think maybe you should answer this question.
No.
But I think Pastor Paul, all the folks in our group, Pastor Paul was kind of ministering or counseling us individually. And it's not, as I remember you telling the story, you've been praying about it on who you were going to start the group with. And the four of us kind of came to top of mind, and you prayed about it and asked us. And we all said yes, and it was interesting because none of us really knew each other at all. But we came pretty close pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay, good. When you were first approached about joining a D group, what excited you and scared you the most about it?
Well, I was excited to dive into the Word, and because I really hadn't experienced it before. I was raised Catholic, but didn't really have a personal relationship with God, so I was excited to be involved. However, I was pretty certain that the other four guys in the group knew a whole lot more than me, so I was worried what I would bring to the table, and since it's such an intimate setting, if anyone would judge me for not knowing something or not remembering something. And I think right from our first meeting together, those fears were kind of pushed off to the side. We actually met the four of us without Pastor Paul because he was out of town, which kind of forced the four of us to open up pretty quickly. So that was definitely a fear, but it was quickly remedied.
Okay, good. Barb?
I was excited because I thought we'd be hanging out and having coffee and chit-chatting, but we don't do that at all. It's just like a hardcore study, and I was excited for that too because I read my Bible, but I never know how to study it or, you know, go, you know, I just read it, and sometimes I feel like I'm just reading it. So I was excited for that, and I was nervous that we had to memorize scripture every week because I didn't think that I would be able to hang with that, but so.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
I'm going to answer this a little backwards. I'm going to start with what I was afraid of. In fact, I was so afraid initially my response was no. I don't have time. That was my biggest concern, time commitment. I have a very stressful job, and committing to something that I knew was gonna be a strain on my already busy schedule was gonna be huge. But fortunately, God didn't allow that to be the final answer. I think I joined the group 4 months in, maybe five. They came to me and said, hey, listen, we'd really feel like you should come. And I felt God had been tugging at me and convicting me that I needed to do this. And the part that's been exciting and that I was excited about was to get that deliberate time in the Word. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, has been the most beneficial part of the whole thing.
Good. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Dan?
I'll start with what I was afraid of. When the D group pilots kind of got started, I was in a different job and I did much more traveling, so I wasn't able to commit to maybe being there every week. So I wasn't sure about that. Lord changed my jobs, and Eric and Matt have been meeting once a week for a couple months, and Matt asked me to go to start attending. and that was great, and I joined back in July. I was excited about it. You know, a lot of times we use the term disciple, but we only use the word disciple when we're in a church. The word disciple is just pupil, okay, and learning, you know, and I got saved back in the early 80s, and I read in 2 Timothy 2:15, I think, that the Bible didn't just say to read the Bible, as you were saying. It says study the Word to show yourself approved in handling the Word of God. And I was really, really excited about that. Another hard part is memorizing Scripture. Over the years, I've read, been familiar with King James, New American Standard, ESV, NIV, and sometimes I'll say a Scripture and I kind of log them together and I get the question, what version are you using? But God's written the Word on my heart that I might not sin against Him in Psalm 119, and that's the important thing. But I was really excited about studying the Word of God, and this gives a good way of doing that.
Yeah, good. Well, what does a typical D group meeting look like? Briefly, because we'll come back to more specifics, but what does it look like? What do you do?
We're eating bacon.
What's that?
We're eating bacon.
Eating bacon.
Nah, we've, okay. But since January 1st, we've kind of cut back a little bit with New Year's resolutions.
wasn't the answer I was looking for, but okay.
I can speak to that a little bit. Generally, the group looks like it's at least the guys that I'm with. You know, we're headed to work, and so we can't really mess around that much. I know some groups have more flexibility than others, but ours doesn't have that much, and so we need to stay on it because there's several things to cover. So kind of as a warm up, as a conversational, just for talk, we talk about highs and lows of the week, just what's going on in our lives, and that's really a neat time of just catching up with people and what's going on, what God's doing. Then we share each day, 5 days a week, we have about 2 chapters of Scripture a day that we're supposed to be reading, and then choosing a passage out of that that we're supposed to journal on, using the HEAR method that maybe Paul talked about last week, which is highlight, explain, apply, and respond. And so each of us will share pretty much one passage during the week that we journaled on. Sometimes we'll read what we journaled, or just share what's, you know, what God was speaking to us through that. And then we'll recite our memory verses for those of them who have them done, which has been a great challenge for all of us, I think, as you've already heard, but really cool to be challenged and have that level of discipline. And then also kind of 2 things to finish up on. One is asking each other some sort of an accountability question from an accountability of sin or temptation in our lives. And so that's obviously sometimes a little bit of an ouchy moment, but critical to develop the type of community and relationships and hold ourselves accountable to the standard that God has. And then finish up with just praying with one another with what's going on and requests we have in our lives.
Is that pretty much what you guys are doing?
I actually want to comment on that. While our D group meeting is so vital and I think important to the growth of us independently, I think what's coming out of our D group too is a weekly conversation that's taking place outside of our Monday morning meetings that we're together. Mm-hmm. So it's very often that you know, throughout the week, almost daily, we'll text one another and be in contact with one another. A byproduct, I think, that's happened in our D group is another tool of learning that the three of us typically use is listening to the same podcasts. And so having that conversation through texting about things that we're learning through a Focus on the Family podcast or some other type of podcast like that. So I've really appreciated how our D group has kind of overflowed into the week and in a different type of conversation just through texting. And one other thing I did want to add to about what my initial reaction was to being willing to start something like this. I was definitely more scared than excited. I can't even tell you I was excited because I did not know what to expect. I had no idea really, but I was very fearful about being able to commit to something that seemed pretty grand. And what I've learned through it is it's not nearly as grand as I thought it was going to be. What I'm getting out of it is grander than I ever imagined, but the time commitment part that I was so nervous about, I didn't need to be.
Well, with all of that being said, I think one of the questions that we're asking continually and need to be asking continually, and not just even with D groups, but with life groups and every aspect of church life is, how do we know if we're making disciples? That is a big question. And one of the ways that we are endeavoring to assess that is using something we call the marks of a discipleship group. It can be applied to disciples as well, but we call it the marks of discipleship. And it's not the only way that you can tell, but it's a good way because it's easy to remember, it's very memorable. And each of the letters that you see up there represents something that we're going to talk about. We're going to have some specific questions related to each of these letters that help us understand how well we are doing at making disciples. We're not going to go in order either. We're actually going to start with S, and that is a healthy discipleship group is scriptural, meaning it's scripture-based. The Bible is the textbook. And so I want to ask, what impact has keeping scripture as the main course? What kind of impact has it had in you personally? What kind of impact has it had in the group?
I can say, I can tell in me that I'm, like I use the app for the memorizing, Remember Me. Mm-hmm. So I'll go look back to the scriptures and the things that we read in the memory verse all throughout the day, not just like in my time that I try to take in the morning. But when I'm working, I clean the office. So like when I'm cleaning, I'll be praying and thinking about stuff, and I'll put on the app on my phone and look back to stuff while I'm working. So I feel like I use it all throughout the day instead of just like in the morning in that quiet time.
Okay.
I think for me, scripture was obviously being in the Word. So we're in the second book of Samuel now, so 17 weeks in. That's the most I've read the Bible in my life over the last 17 weeks, and I'm 52, so that'll give you some reference. And I'm proud of that, to be 52. That's what I'm proud of. Another thing that we do is as far as memorization, I also have an app called Verses that kind of steps me through memorizing. In the mornings, I'll be dancing around the room, especially the day of the meeting, and I'll be, yelling scripture out and everything. And Denise kind of looks at me like, wow, I've never heard that before coming from you. And the other thing, I carry index cards around as well. So I have a whole ring of index cards. I feel like a kindergartner at times, but it is worth it. I also carry the two cards each week in my pocket at work, and that is very beneficial for me because I can sit at my desk and pull the cards out and be looking at them. I can also reference them in meetings, and at my work at Nationwide, we use the Agile process, so we have visual management system that we have. We use index cards. A lot of times the index cards that I'm using are repurposed cards from my visual management system at work. So I'll pull the cards out at work and other folks will reference, oh, you use index cards. I found out that a peer of mine actually does the same thing. He has Bible verses on his index cards as well and has them at his desk.
Somebody else, how has it impacted you being in God's Word?
I know for me, one of the big insights is just how deep and limitless the Word of God is, because as we're doing our journals 5 days a week, and we read you read your two chapters, and then like the verses that you're supposed to focus on, and that's the other part I like, is having to pick verses to focus on. It can't just be big and broad. You've got to pick something to focus on, and something will hit you and you'll focus on that. But then when you get together and you start sharing, you realize that CJ might have read the exact same verses, but something else completely different hit him, and like, wow, I didn't even see that. So just amazing how the word is so deep and limitless and so much you can pull out of it from kind of going back at it and from having different perspectives. Mm-hmm.
What has surprised you the most about being in God's word? What have you discovered in this journey, however long you've been meeting?
I'd say that, you know, it's not just one or two or three or four verses in the New Testament with just Jesus talking. Starting in the Old Testament, I never realized how applicable it was right from the beginning of foretelling what was to come. And it's not, like I said, not just one or two or three verses. Every chapter that we read and everything we pick out speaks to our lives today. It's just kind of, as you peel those layers back, it just blossoms into something. Every chapter, every word that's in the Bible speaks directly to us and will continue to speak generations past us. And for me, that's something that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. How has journaling helped you in this process of reading and understanding God's word and even being able to communicate it to others?
I'll say when we started with it, I wasn't super stoked about the idea of journaling. I felt like it was maybe, you know, it gave me like a specific way I had to do it, and I felt like I kind of wanted to just do it my own way. But it has been really helpful for me just looking at how I can really dig deeper into God's word and making sure that I'm not just reading it and moving on, but reading it and really finding some sort of application for my life that I can later apply and that can really change me instead of just reading it and moving on.
Yeah, I'm going to speak for John. John and I had this conversation. We see eye to eye on this one. Journaling, not all of us are novelists like some people, so it doesn't come easily. But when it does, it really helps reinforce the connection with the Holy Spirit that's trying to speak with us mm-hmm. in that verse or whatever it is that we're writing about. So.
Okay. Good.
Makes that connection.
Yeah. All right. What about memorizing? Has that been a challenge for you? And how has it enriched you?
It's been a big challenge, but I love the discipline of it, that it is required, man. I mean, there is no way to memorize a verse except for sitting down and practicing it. And there's some great apps, Fighterverse. I heard Barb say another one.
Memory.
I mean, there's some great apps for it, and they're critical because, I mean, we've been going at this for how many weeks now? Like 40 weeks or 45 weeks our group has been meeting, and at two verses a week, it's pretty awesome to think, you know, and don't get me wrong, when I go back, I don't know them all still, but if I go back, they come back to you pretty quickly. And so the idea of now having like 80 verses over the course of the last year that we have memorized at one time or another and can go back and refresh pretty quickly, it's overwhelming, especially when I look out to future years. It's like, how much can I stuff into this brain and expect ever to get back out again? But to have God's word on our heart at that level and to be working through the discipline of memorizing for that reality of putting it on our heart, it's just exciting.
Yeah. That leads me to ask a follow-up question, because I'm sure there are some people there that are thinking, what? You've been meeting for 40-some weeks. If you're doing two, that's 80 verses. Certainly, you can't remember them all. So how would you respond to someone who asks that question or asks the question, well, if you can't remember them, it seems like you're wasting your time. How would you respond to that?
I'll say I can't remember anything, and I remember them. But when I was working one night and reading the verse over and over and over, because it was a really long one that we had to remember, and it was, our group was the next day, so I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get this memorized. Yeah. When I read it and realized the words and what it said, and it was talking about how those that have God's word hidden in their heart, about the Lord blessing them and stuff, like I really thought, oh my gosh, that's me. Like, he's gonna do that for me. And it made me get teared up, because I like, I read stuff all the time, but it never really hits me like that. So for the verses, sometimes, you know, they're really...
Okay, all right. What other benefit from, if you can't quote chapter and verse and or remember what you memorized 4 weeks ago, where's the benefit in this?
I think once it's there, though, like, I know there's been times where the Lord's prompted the verse, and I don't remember, like you said, word for word, but something will come up. There'll be a conversation or something I hear, and it prompts that, and definitely mm-hmm. is the Holy Spirit speaking to me about that verse. So it's definitely there, maybe just not word for word.
Okay. Greg?
I was going to basically say the same thing as Brian. It's just a jogger for when you need it during your life as a place to go back to start, as opposed to having no clue where it's written. It's just very helpful.
Okay.
I was going to say, even when you don't have your Bible or your, you know, Foundations workbook, you know, you're driving down the road, you're, yes, in a meeting. I've done memory verses in my head while I was in a meeting. You know, it's God's word, and even though you're thinking, okay, what's next? Is the first word and? Is it but? Is it for? Where do we start? You know, even on those times where, you know, you don't have something in your hands, it's all up here. And even if you mess it up, it doesn't matter, because it's still God's word infiltrating every part of your life.
Yeah.
Important part of that, too, is, you know, in John 14, 15, and 16, the role of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, he will lead us into all truth. He will remind us of all the things. Those things are written in our heart at the time, the proper time. He'll remind us. And we won't even think, well, it's the next word, and, or whatever, but the Holy Spirit's role really plays out on that, and that's great.
I love that part of it. In fact, you wouldn't have known this last week, but during my prayer last week, the Lord brought to my mind a memory verse that I had memorized, and I was able to actually pray that as I was, you know, praying. So God does bring to your memory, even if you don't remember it, things that months ago that you memorized, years ago, God can bring to your remembrance. I'd like to, before we move on to the next letter, is to share a little something with you from a D group member who is not here this morning. We're missing a couple of folks, but I loved what Tyler says here. Tyler said that a huge part of our group is diving into the gospel and letting God speak to us through his word. My favorite part, I love this, my favorite part of the readings are sharing our here journals. And here is an acrostic that stands for highlight, explain, apply, and respond. It says, when we share together, I use it as a learning tool. I have the opportunity to look at it from five different angles. That's because there's five people in his group. And then apply it to my life. That wouldn't be possible without our group. Along the lines of our here journals, another cool part is memorization. Even though I struggle with memorizing sometimes, I think it's a great challenge. And as we go out and make disciples, it provides a lot of credibility when we can actually quote scripture from our hearts. So I thought that was really good. So let's move on to the next letter, and that is A, and I won't have as many questions here, actually just one, and that is accountable. You can't expect what you don't inspect. And as you've been meeting together, accountability is one of those marks that helps you know whether or not you're a healthy discipleship group or not. And so what does accountability look like for your group?
I'll go. I think there's a couple pieces to it. Oh, sorry, stop. The first one is as Ryan alluded to, is the last question. We just ask one another an accountability question. And that is huge. I think one of the big motivators for me through the week is to be able to, I don't want to let these guys down. So when they come and ask me that same question next week, I want to be able to look across the table honestly and give them a fair answer, not be judged, but just to be encouraged and supported. But the second piece is through the week, as we know, we're going into a meeting that's very difficult. I've been dealing with some things at work that have just been on my heart a lot. And to have these guys reach out to me knowing that at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, and they text me at 7:45, say, hey, thinking about you, praying about you, you know, staying firm, those sort of things. It's absolutely huge. And it's amazing the strength you gain from that.
I was going to say, in D groups, I mean, we ask for it. We want it. I mean, it's an opportunity to look at these other, for us it's just three women, but to look at these other two women and go, you know, clearly what I've shared in how that scripture spoke to me and how I applied it, clearly I need to work on that. And that's something that, you know, I can look at these gals and say, ask me next week how I did this week on that. And, you know, I mean, I love life groups, will always be a part of life groups. I absolutely love life groups. But you can't, it's hard to have that in life group when you're with maybe 12 other people, men and women both. I mean, I absolutely love life groups, but it's just different. Mm-hmm. And it's a great addition as we're seeking to grow in things that we specifically struggle with. Those temptations, those issues, you know, we have issues. And to be able to look at somebody and know that they're going to, because we asked for it, they're going to say, how did you do this week? You know, and like Greg said, with the more communication during the week, because we go so in-depth in D-group, you can't help but think about what that person's dealing with that week. It's a shared burden. Yeah. In a real new way, that you just can't help but check in because you know they... you know, shared that struggle with you, and you're praying for each other. And so it's just a different level of accountability because we're truly wanting it.
Yeah. Tyler writes, he says, we act as accountability partners. Several times I've had one of the guys text me to the side, that means outside of the D group chat, and he says, to ask me how I'm doing in a certain area. That is something I really appreciate. It holds me to a higher standard and ultimately helps me to be like Christ. So I thought that was good. Anybody else want to add something before we next?
I would just say, at least in our group, accountability starts with actually sharing. I know with guys, it's easy to be like, how was your week? Good. How was your week? Good. And kind of leave it at that. But I'd say we actually force ourselves to be, because we have a little bit more time maybe than you guys do, and we do spend some time at the beginning diving into in detail what our weeks were, what the highs and lows were, and actually force ourselves to share in detail what's going on instead of just like glossing over. And then that helps the accountability for sure, is to be that open and honest and transparent.
All right, we're going to look at the next letter. That is C, communal. And that's kind of related to the accountability piece there. Tyler wrote, he said, I think the structure of the D groups has helped me grow my faith. It's just us guys who can relate to each other in many ways and share intimate fellowship with each other. Now, that's a phrase that most guys probably wouldn't use, intimate fellowship. But that's exactly what's happening. He says, I appreciate how no matter what we are going through, we can all share without the fear of judgment. I find it harder to share intimate feelings when it's a larger group. This D group has given me the comfort to be 100% transparent. I think this feeling of comfort came from our very first meeting. For the D group to be effective, we all agreed to complete openness, but at the same time, complete confidentiality. And this creates a culture of trust amongst us brothers. And so describe how authentic biblical community, brotherhood, or sisterhood has been formed in your group and what it means to you personally.
I think we all, in our group, our kids are close to the same ages. So like we share a lot of things that we worry as moms about our kids together and things that we want to pray for them for. And like we'll text each other through the week, you know, things like that, or just funny things that we went through and talked about together. And like we had to miss a couple weeks because of the weather. So then they emailed their journal entries and we, you know, we laughed and talked about them through text and email. So I feel like it's more, our life group is great. I love our life group too, like someone else said, but it's smaller and more intimate and, you know, just all women. Mm-hmm. And just, we have a lot of things in common that we share in our D group. Okay. And pray about and stuff.
Somebody else, what does it mean to you, biblical community, in your group?
One of the questions that we will oftentimes use is, have you shared any half-truths that have made yourself look preferable to others? And I know that It's that, frankly, that's a big temptation in at least my life, whether it's with people I work with, people I work for, promises of deadlines. You know, you name the things that you can share halfway that sort of shed the truth across, you know, kind of the half cup full, half cup empty sort of spectrum up for you to decide. Mm-hmm. And I know for me to be able to know that there's a moment during the week when I'm going to have to answer for that or something similar, it impacts my words and my promises during the week to people I'm interacting with in all settings. Not because I'm scared of how they're going to respond, but because this whole picture of discipleship raises the bar of how we serve and worship in our lives, our God, not these guys, our God. But they're here to lift me up in that standard.
Okay, good. And that's probably a good way to segue into our next letter, and that is missional. D group participants should be living out the gospel. And you talked about being in the workplace and, you know, all sorts of options. You can be have integrity there or not. Are you telling half-truths? So one of the components of our D groups are to pray for those who don't know Christ, whether they be family members, friends, co-workers, and also to share the gospel with people. Now, it's one thing to be praying for people who don't know Jesus and to pray for, you know, boldness and courage and all of that. But let me ask you, how are you guys fleshing out this missional component, both, you know, inside your group, you know, thinking about it, and then outside of that?
Well, an example from a couple months ago, I think it was maybe a month or two in with the D group where I work, I was going through security, and I take my Bible with me, and there was a security guard who flagged me over, and I said, "What's up?" And she said, I see you bring that in every day. Going through a hard time, where do I start?" And at first, I was thinking, there's some other people that could answer this better than me. So it put me on the spot, but I was able to give some real decent, I think, highlights of where she can start. Kind of having some comfort through the D group, being able to find some words that maybe would help her a little bit. So I wasn't seeking it out. It just kind of, it happens. So I think this enables us to, whether we are anticipating it or not, to help address those things as we go out into the communities and spread the word.
Now, who would have thought carrying a Bible to work would be a discussion starter? Mm-hmm. Right. Anybody else?
I have the office that I clean has a lot of different types of people that work there. Like, it's real diverse. It's a lot of Muslim people. And there's a couple guys. I used to work at the office with them, so they know me. But I'll be listening to scripture on my phone while I'm cleaning. Like, if I'm mopping the kitchen, this one kid came in, and he was like, "What are you listening to?" And I told him. Well, he asked me questions all the time. Because he said he visited a Christian church once. So, like, I have a lot of discussions with him. His name's Shashant. Okay. And so, like, I've seen that while I'm cleaning.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anybody else? Eric?
Yeah, I think for our group, we actually have on our prayer sheet each week, we have specific people that we're praying for us to have opportunity to share the gospel with them. So, you know, for Dan, there's a guy at his work, and Dan was able to go to lunch with him. And we're able to pray for that moment to happen. Matt, there's a guy at work he was on a ski trip with to be able to have opportunity to share the gospel with. For me, we were praying about some kids that were on my basketball team. So that's a part of our weekly routine, is praying for those people. Yeah. And it's a piece of accountability of, hey, did you share the gospel? Did you find a way? Have you been praying? Has God opened that door for you?
Yeah. So I would say then that's probably one of the big differences here is we're talking about having a lifestyle of sharing Christ with others. It might be sowing seeds here. It may be presenting the gospel to somebody. You know, I was fortunate a few weeks ago to be able to share the gospel with somebody who's actually here this morning. I won't call out any names, but just the excitement of being able to share the gospel, invite somebody to come to worship with us, to get plugged into a life group, and to realize this is a part of who we are as Christians. We are on mission with God wherever we go. And so rather than thinking about it as a program or an event, something I have to do, you think about, this is who I am. I'm an ambassador of Christ. You know, I'm a king's kid. I get to share the gospel with people. So let me hit our last letter, and that is reproducible. Reproducible. The discipleship process is complete when the mentee becomes a mentor. So when you first heard the expectations that when you're through with your D group, when your cycle, life group, your D group cycle ends, that you were supposed to lead a D group, how did you feel?
So I'll jump in on this one. It's exciting. And the reason I say that is being a babe in the Word and so forth, we've kind of... our group has kind of brought ourselves up to the next level. CJ mentioned when we started our group, Pastor Paul happened to be on vacation. So guess what?
I missed 2 weeks. They didn't even need me.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
That's how simple this thing is, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we started the first 2 weeks on our own. And obviously we have, you know, Brian here, who's further and a lot more mature than we are. And we share the leadership in our group. I'll be honest with you. There's times where we start our group and Pastor Paul's like, well, you guys go ahead and get started. Where do you want to start? How you want to do that? Sometimes I'll jump in and start it. Other times I'll deflect it and say, CJ, Brian, you want to kick it off, that type of stuff. So that's the exciting part of it. And we're not waiting till this group is over to actually do that. We're taking some of this stuff on ourselves to actually, you know, lead our group throughout our meeting and so forth. So I think that's the exciting part for me.
I'm not sure everybody would have led off answering that question with excitement, but you do bring up a good point, is that in your D group, as you share, you learn. Before long, it's like, well, this isn't as difficult as I thought. But what were your initial feelings, and has it changed? Matt?
Yeah, I was scared of, I felt like I was not adequate enough to lead. That was my biggest hurdle to decide to join a discipleship group is the leading part. I'm horrible at memorization and remembering anything, really. And I felt like I didn't have like a lot of knowledge of the Bible. But since I've been in the group, I feel more confident. I know if I don't have all the answers, that by faith God will use His Word and the Holy Spirit to deal with anything that comes up in when I do become a leader of a D group.
So. Okay, good.
I also think that the term leading the group is a little bit, you don't really lead the group as much as you just kind of keep it moving, or help keep it moving, because most, after a few months, we all just... There's no one person really leading the group at that point.
So, that's neat.
So I'm more comfortable now.
Steph?
I was just going to say, I hate the idea of it because it's like a love-hate thing. It's like I don't like the idea of ending our discipleship group to start another one. But I love the idea of starting another one because there's a bigger picture and there's a bigger purpose than just the three of us. I mean, you know, it is what it is. We take this season and we grow together so that we can, you know, expand that. And that's the whole purpose of mm-hmm. reproducing it. But that it's a bittersweet thing, just like when a life group needs to grow. It's always bittersweet and it's always sad, but it's just not about us. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
And those relationships form because of the way a D group is set up. They form in a deeper way than you realize. And so I truly believe that, you know, post D group, those relationships, even though we aren't meeting weekly, I mean, they'll continue in some form and way because of the depth that we've come to as a group. But at the end of the day, there's a bigger picture that we must reproduce. And that's exciting because God has, you know, laid on my heart women that have just come into my world that I'm excited to ask, but that doesn't make it any easier to, you know, when it's time to end. But at the same time, I think God gives us each that excitement to move forward, and that's what we pass on to our next mm-hmm. D group, so that we just keep doing that so we can all grow.
Very, very good. So what final words do you have for our New Life family to encourage them, to find out where they are on the discipleship pathway, how to take the next steps? What would you like to say in closing?
Since I haven't spoken, I just want to say, I just want to encourage people to do it, because as I go through my day, it brings to mind what you have learned, and it's really brought me a deeper understanding for what people in the Bible are going through. Sometimes you just read something and you're like, well, that was dumb, why'd they do that? But, you know, then you go through your day and you're like, oh, I really need some chocolate right now. I want some chocolate right now, and I'm searching through the kitchen. I know I have some chocolate here somewhere. And then you stop and you think, oh, I'm an Israelite. Seriously, I'm craving and I can't, and I'm complaining and I can't control myself. And it's just changed the way that I view things throughout my day. You know, I've always struggled with food. I love food really a lot, and it consumes my day. And it, you know, just always before I'm reading and I'm thinking, those Israelites, they're just so ungrateful, and you know, they just really didn't know what they had, and how could they forget what God has done? You know, and then there I am. Oh my word, I'm gonna die if I don't have chocolate. And that's just not gonna happen, and it's just letting God be, you know, everything to you, and letting him overcome those things in your life.
So. Yeah, I would say don't feel like you have to be, you know, this tall to ride this ride to get in a D group. I mean, really the only two requirements are you're a born-again Christian and you have a desire to grow closer to God and closer to other Christians. Because, I mean, in many ways, if you looked at the group Paul put together, we were a bit of a motley crew in many ways, but we all had that desire to grow closer to Christ. And I think it's like how much we've grown so fast is partly because we're willing to be open and transparent, and we just have that desire to grow close to God. We definitely didn't have a lot of the other maybe typical qualifications of trying to be a leader, but it's been huge in my life.
One last thing I'd like to share with you that Tyler wrote that I think is also very encouraging. He says, I think a good example of the culture that I spoke of is prayer. For the longest time, I always had miniature anxiety attacks when I was asked to pray in front of people. Anybody ever feel that way? It was in this group that I learned how to pray. I always thought that I had to say the right words for God to hear me. That isn't the case. I come to God as a son who would come to their dad. I talk to him. I've learned that that's all that he wants. Now when I pray for a family meal or in a group, I feel a lot more comfortable. I feel a lot more natural talking to God. And the last point I want to mention, he says, is our commitment to each other. We have consistent communications going with each other. When we know we are traveling or going through a tough time, everyone is always checking in to see how things are going and how we can pray for one another. And he shared so much. I actually edited this. He sent that to me, and I was just blown away to see what God is doing in this young man's life. And clearly God is at work in each of your lives, and we know God is at work here at the church, in our church. I hope the marks help you understand. This is one of the ways that we are assessing the health of our discipleship groups and the assessing the health of us as individual members, as disciples of Christ. And so the last question I want to ask is for you. Where are you on the discipleship pathway? And where do you need to take your next step? Because the Christian life is not a stagnant life. It is a life of continual growth. It's a continuum where we become changed and conformed to the image of Christ. He has commanded us to make disciples. So we have to be a disciple, and we have to be a disciple who makes disciples. That's where we're headed as a church. We're really excited about it. Thank you guys so much for sharing with us here this morning. I'd like to have a word of prayer, and then we'll let the worship team come up for one last song. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy. I thank you for giving us the vision that you have. And Lord, forgive us for the time that has been spent in each of our lives where we have not taken seriously this command. Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you, and we ask that you would use us for the furtherance of your kingdom, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you all very much. Would you give them a hand, please?